It's a verse from Psalm 119. My heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read your word together today, we pray that our hearts would tremble with wonder and awe. Help us to rejoice in what we hear and learn. Help us to find great spoil there, great treasures within it. We pray you'd be at work in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to help us to know and trust Jesus more as we look at your word. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, imagine a young man, sort of 23-ish, thinking about proposing to his girlfriend. And there's one thing that stops him. He's full of worry. He doesn't think that he'll be able to make the marriage last. He looks around him and he sees lots of marriages failing. Divorce is in the news all the time. There's a great percentage of number of people who fail. How is he going to keep his promise to stay married to her till death us do part? So will he propose or not? Well, he did. It was me. That was 21 years ago. I overcame my worries and I married Claire. The same kind of worry can hit us as a Christian. Will I be someone who makes it? Am I strong enough to withstand the temptations of the world around me? The trials that I might face? The things that other people say? My own sinfulness? Can I keep going? Or am I good enough? Will my past sins that were there before I became a Christian, will they catch up on me? Will someone turn up from the past and say, you're not good enough for Jesus, how can you be a Christian? Or what if something terrible happens? Something difficult in my life? Will I still trust Jesus through that? I've heard of so many people who fall away. Will I be able to keep going? Maybe that's you. Maybe you wonder these things. Well, today, as we look at Romans 8, the last part of Romans 8, from verse 31 to 39, we're going to see God's promises to reassure you and to help you. Perhaps these things have never bothered you. Maybe you're very confident and you just assume that you can cope. Me, a Christian? Yeah, easy, forever. You're strong. You're holy. Nothing can stop you. Well, today we're going to ask, where is your confidence based? Where are you basing that confidence? Because if you're basing it in yourself and your own strength, you're on shaky ground. But God has some promises that means that you can trust him. How can I keep going? It's a question we all need to answer. In this passage, there are three great promises to help us. Three great promises to help us. So we're on page 1135. It's Romans 8, and we'll start at verse 31. And the first thing we'll see is that God equips you. Here's his first promise. How can you keep going? God will equip you. Maybe you think, I'm not strong enough to stand. I haven't got what it takes to keep going as a Christian. How will I survive to the end of the week? Let alone how many years I've got left till Christ returns or till I die. The answer is, God will equip you. You're not strong enough to stand? That's all right. God will equip you. Maybe you're thinking, I am strong. I'm a great Christian. Hold on a minute. You need some humility because we all need help and you all need help too. And God will equip you. Have a look at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? What then shall we say in response to this? Paul looks back. He looks back, first of all, at just the previous few verses, verse 28, 29 and 30. Verse 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. How does he work for the good of those who love him? How does he actually put that into practice? Paul is going to tell us. What should we say in response to this? Paul is going to show us three ways that he does. Verse 30. Those God predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God's saying that he will keep us with him until we're glorified in heaven with him. Are we sure? Well, we can be because of what we're about to see. What then should we say in response to this? So he looks back to those verses, but he looks back as well to the whole chapter. Chapter 8 is all about the wonderful results of trusting in Jesus, of what Jesus has done for us by his death on the cross and by rising again. There's no condemnation now if we're trusting in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. God looks at us as if he's seeing someone like Jesus himself. No condemnation. There's life with the Holy Spirit in verse 5 onwards. So God the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping us to fight sin, helping us to trust in Jesus. And there's the certainty from verse 18 that the future glory that faces us is so much better than all the present suffering. Look at verse 18. I consider that all our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. How can that be? Paul's going to explain to us in these few verses. And it's not just the few verses before the chapter, it's actually the whole book that he was responding to. What then shall we say in response to this, to everything he said so far? God could have abandoned us to sin and death. That's where we are as the human race, as Paul's explained in the first few chapters of Romans. He could have left us there, but he didn't. He sent his son. So chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This is brilliant. We could have been left in our sin, but we're not. He has sent Jesus, and we're justified, declared right with him, because Jesus has paid the price. And chapter 5, the verse that we heard at the beginning of the service, chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's where we've got to in Romans. This is amazing. What should we say in response to all this? Three amazing things we're going to hear. And the first is that God will equip us if we're worried about standing firm, if we're worried whether we can face the present sufferings or whether there really is no condemnation. God can equip us. Verse 31 carries on. If God is for us, who can be against us? And you imagine yourself in the church in Rome where this is being read out, and a little voice pipes up from the back, Nero! If God is for us, who can be against us? Nero! The Romans, they're in Rome. Nero was not a friend of Christians. How can we survive with Nero on our tails? The answer, God will provide help. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God will provide the help we need. After all, he's made a huge investment, hasn't he? If you're trusting in Jesus, God has made a huge investment in you. After all, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Imagine that you buy a new car, and I don't know how much you spend on a new car, a second-hand car, let's say. Maybe you spend £5,000 on your car, and it's great, and you enjoy driving your car, zipping around, it's lovely, it all works. And after a couple of weeks, a wiper blade goes. No, 20 quid for a new wiper blade. Ah, what are you going to do? Chuck the car away, because it's another 20 quid. No, you just spend the £20 and get the wiper blade changed. You made such a big investment in the car, you're not going to throw it away for the sake of 20 quid. And that's where God is with us. He's made such a big investment in us. He's sent his own son to die on the cross for you. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give you what you need to continue? The extra is minuscule in God's terms, but he'll do it. So you might think, I'm not strong enough to stand. But God equips you. God equips you. And I suppose the question for us in response to that is, will we receive that equipping? Will we put on what God gives us. Now, here in Romans 8, he doesn't spend much time talking about that. But we know from Ephesians 6 that God equips us with his armour. The armour of God. And he talks in Ephesians 6 things like the helmet of salvation. In other words, the security we have because we're saved by Jesus. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. That living for Jesus and living in a Christ-like way makes a difference to how we carry on. He talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the Bible, and the help we have from reading God's word and him speaking to us through it. Will we put on God's armour that he provides? Will we turn to God for his help when times are hard and we think we're not sure? We turn to his word and not trust in ourselves, but hear from him that help for our lives. God equips you. But that's not all. How can I keep going? God justifies you. Verse 33. Maybe you think, I'm not good enough for God. You should see my past sins. You should see my present sins. When we turn to Jesus, the promise is there that our sins are forgiven because he died on the cross. That's what Romans has been telling us up to this point. And we need this because we face God's wrath at our sin. Sin isn't just something that can be brushed aside. Sin is something that makes God angry. Sin is something that we should face separation from God because of. And so maybe our previous sins from when we before we became a Christian make us feel very guilty. Or maybe we find sin in life still hard to shake off. And we wonder if we're forgiven. And we think, I'm not good enough for God. On the other hand, maybe we think, well, I've got no problem with sin. I don't sin. I'm fine. Do you think that? We need to think again. The Bible tells us that we all have a problem with sin, even when we're Christians. And if you look at chapter 7, you see how Paul struggled with sin in his own life. Don't panic. Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. This is brilliant. If you think I'm not good enough for God, or at least when we realise we're not good enough for God, we hear God saying, I justify you. So don't panic. God justifies. This is the good news of Jesus. This is what Romans is all about. You know what justification is? It's just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified. It's the word that Paul uses in Romans chapter 3. It's as if God looks at us and sees us completely right with him. Just as if I'd never sinned. Because of Jesus, not because of ourselves, but because of him. And so he can say at the beginning of chapter 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified. I'm sure you've seen this illustration before, but suppose this is my tablet. Suppose this actually had on it a load of videos from your life this last week. And we've got the videos and we can watch them. And not only that, but soundtrack and also little subtitles for where your thoughts were and your ideas and all that kind of thing. And it's the kind of thing that if it was true, that it was all of your life for the last week or month, say, you wouldn't want anyone to see it. There'd be good bits you'd be happy with. But if it was everything, you'd want to quickly get to my tablet and delete that bit, wouldn't you? And I would too. And it's that for our lives that separates us from God. So this is me, and God's up there. It separates us from God. It's our sin. Not everything in our lives, but those things that where we're turning away from him and not making him glorified in our lives. It cuts us off from God. But on the cross, Jesus, who was never cut off from God, takes that on himself and dies for it. Where does that leave us? Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Nothing. Cutting us off from God. And that's the promise of these verses. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? No one can condemn you. Your past sins, they're wiped out by Jesus. Your present sins, as we keep turning to him, asking for his forgiveness and repenting before him, they're wiped out. We're justified. And not only that, we can be confident because Jesus intercedes. Verse 34, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He hasn't died and risen and left us to stew. He's with the Father, praying for us. He's our representative, our mediator, our advocate. One of the fun things about being at St. Lawrence is that Precious Amuku, who's preaching there this morning, he's great friends with the Archbishop, Justin Welby. So, I figure that if I ever needed anything sorting out, you know what I mean, a word in Precious's ear, and I'd be to Justin Welby within minutes. In fact, I already have better representation. And there it is in verse 34. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is interceding for me and you. Jesus intercedes. We can be confident. So we might think I'm not good enough for God, but God justifies us. It's a great promise. So will we trust in Jesus alone, in Christ alone? Will we trust in Christ alone? If we're saying I'm not good enough, then we need to accept that Jesus' death is good enough. He has done what we need. We are justified. That's the promise. Will you trust that and stop feeling not good enough for him? Or if you think to yourself, I've got no problem with sin, will you trust in Christ alone? And will you realise that you do need what Jesus has done for your forgiveness? And will you humble yourself and accept that verdict? Will you trust in Christ alone? How can I keep going? Maybe you think, I'm not strong enough to stand. And we've seen that God equips you. Maybe you think, I'm not good enough for God. And we've seen that God justifies you. Maybe you think, some disaster is bound to hit me. And I won't be able to cope. I won't be able to keep going. Maybe you're actually facing that right now. And we can see from verse 35, that God gives us victory over trouble. God gives us victory over trouble. So what if some disaster happens? Will that cut us off from God? It might be that emotionally and psychologically, we really feel that it has cut us off from God. C.S. Lewis, a famous Christian writer a few years ago, was married to a lady who died from cancer. And he struggled when that happened. It's really hard. It hit him very hard. He felt that God wasn't there. He said, where is God? Go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. He felt that God had abandoned him. And that can be our feeling when we're facing some kind of trouble in our lives, something difficult that's happened. Maybe someone's died. Maybe we have an illness. Paul tells us here that the divine truth for you, if you trust in Jesus, behind those feelings, whatever those feelings are, however strongly they come, the divine truth behind them. Well, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? He carries on in verse 37. No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. We're super conquerors through him who loved us. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. What we can't see and what we can't feel is that God has not and will not stop loving you. And if you read C.S. Lewis' book, Grief Observed, you'll see that he reworks his view of God as he goes through the pain of losing his wife. And he realises that was a feeling of his own and not the truth. Have a look at verse 36. As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. What's that doing there? I think that's showing us something of Paul's own personal struggle with this. This comes from Psalm 44, which we had read, well, we read together, didn't we, earlier. And in that psalm, you can see the writer is struggling with the fact that God seems to be absent. And Paul and his ministry and his life knew all of these troubles. Hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, verse 35. He's struggled like C.S. Lewis. He's felt that they're like sheep to be slaughtered. He's felt that door slammed in his face. But now he knows, through God's work in his heart, now he knows that nothing can separate him. He's a super conqueror through Jesus. Have a think for a minute. How would trouble get the victory in our lives? Trouble would get the victory. Trouble, something happening that's difficult. How would that get the victory in your life? Well, it would get the victory if you stopped trusting Jesus, wouldn't it? It would have won, whatever that event was. It would have beaten Jesus and you. What Paul says here is that God can make you a super conqueror in that situation. Not by taking the trouble away or stopping them happening, by helping us to know that whatever happens, God is there and you're loved. Whatever happens, you're loved. In the midst of this world and all the difficult things in it, that we're groaning in, if you remember back in chapter 8, verse 18. How do we know that we're loved? Romans 5, verse 8. While we were still sinners, Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how we know we're loved. What does it mean that we're loved? Chapter 8, verse 1. No condemnation. Chapter 8, verse 18. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Verse 30. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. You're loved. God can make you a super conqueror. He gives you victory over trouble because you're loved. I don't know if you've heard of Yvonne Leon. She's a Christian songwriter. She's written a song called I Am Loved. Let me just read some of the words. I won't sing it. All tired out by the best of intentions, convinced I could carry this weight on my own. The more I discover, the less I'm sure of. But I know I don't face this journey alone. When it all falls apart, like it tends to do sometimes, I am loved. When it all falls apart, like it tends to do sometimes, I am loved. So will you set your hope on glory? God gives you victory over trouble. Will you set your hope on glory? So many of us, our hope is in this world and not on the glory that is to come, where we will see Jesus and we will know that nothing has separated us from his love. We set our hope on happiness, on our families, on our jobs, whatever it is. And the things in verse 35 will get in the way of those. So trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, yeah. They'll get in the way of happiness, family, job. So why do we put our hope on something they'll never get in the way of? The glory that is where we're going in Jesus, thanks to Jesus. That needs to occupy our goals and our planning, our ambitions. Because the promise is that nothing will separate us from God's love. The love that sent Jesus to die. The love that says there's no condemnation. That our future glory is better than the present sufferings. And that he's going to get us there. Because he loves us. God gives you victory over trouble. Will you set your hope on glory? Well, how can I keep going? On your own, not a chance. You just won't do it. But with Jesus, God is for you. Isn't that tremendous news? We might say, I haven't got what it takes to keep going. Or I'm not good enough for God. Or what if something comes along and messes everything up? But God equips you. God justifies you. God gives you victory over trouble. These are his promises that we see here. So will you put on his armor? Will you trust in Christ alone? Will you set your eyes and your hope on the glory that is to be revealed in you when Jesus appears. Let's pray. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Thank you, Father, that you are for us. And although we sometimes feel that many things are against us, there is nothing that can be against us, thanks to your great love. Thank you that you are able to equip us with what we need to keep going. You have justified us through Jesus and see us as right in his eyes. And that with you there is victory, even in the midst of the worst troubles, because you love us. Help us to fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus and the glory that is there in him. And to trust in him alone. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.